join me in the prayer for illumination? Let us pray.
Spirit of God, may you come into my heart and bring me here the word of God in fresh new ways, so that I may bring God's word to the world. Amen.
The scripture lesson is from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Using the Open Bible version of this. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for water. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I want to draw your attention to a little piece of paper that is in the bulletin. And at the top it says, "Prayer Activity, Question." And it says, "As you listen to the scriptures today, pay attention to what grabs your attention. Write any questions you have as to what the Holy Spirit is speaking through the text to you and your life of faith. And then allow this to become a part of you and let God add this to your faith journey. And then I'll give you further instructions. Well, let me just say now. During the offering time, I invite you to share with someone next to you what you have written. And then keep this note with you and have a little prayer on it. And that way you can refer to it in the coming days and weeks to remind you of what you heard the Holy Spirit saying to you today. I'm reading the book of Acts. It is the entire chapter, chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Persia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this was what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Tower of Babel and Pentecost are two Bible stories about language that I imagine that we're all familiar with. We hear the Pentecost story every year, and the story of the Tower of Babel comes around, or Babel, however you want to pronounce it. It comes around every so often, and it's found in Genesis, just as Bill read to us, and has long been interpreted as human beings trying to be like God, and God taking vengeance by spreading them out. The opening of the passage immediately brings up questions for me regarding how this passage has been interpreted, as it talks about everyone in the whole earth migrating from the east, everyone with one language and the same words, coming to a plain in the land of Shinar, which we don't know where it is, and settling there. In the Old Testament, usually when the words the whole world are used, it isn't the same as the whole world as we think of it today. In those days, the whole world was what was known by the storytellers, probably what had been explored or maybe spoken of by travelers, but it certainly wasn't the whole earth, because they had not yet, of course, seen a view from space that would tell them just how vast the whole world was. So saying everyone in the world probably meant the group of people from whom the story originated. That perhaps they hadn't encountered other languages yet. And this is a little different than the thought that several groups of people came together who spoke one language and banded together to build the tower. They just kind of got to a place where they felt comfortable and decided it was time to settle down. Now, the typical telling of this story has God being angry that they were building a tower to heaven, that they wanted to be like God, or that they were trying to reach God. Whether God was afraid or feeling threatened by their actions and by their tower. And again, this raises questions. Why would God be threatened by anything humans would do? God, who created everything in the world, including humans, why would God be afraid of this? Theoretically, God could wipe them all out with one wave of the hand, so to speak. And God does scatter the people, and he does give different groups different languages, but is it out of fear or anger would be my question. Or is it because God saw that this clumping together of humanity into one homogeneous group would not be good for humanity? Because what benefit would it be to humanity to have one language? As God observed, that would be able to do anything they wanted to do. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Without language barriers, humans could seemingly accomplish a great deal on their own, maybe even without God's help. So perhaps this is the clue to why God would scatter all the people and divide them by tongues. Because throughout the whole Old Testament, it seems that God continues to try to remind the people to rely on God, place their trust in God rather than in themselves or the old small g gods that other people had. And over again, people remember often after some disaster, and people do renew their trust in God. Then gradually over time, people become more and more self-reliant or more afraid that God doesn't really exist or doesn't really have the power that they've been told. And the cycle repeats itself. You know, you think about God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and they came to Mount Sinai, and they were all, this is great, we have all, we're all together under one God. And Moses went up on the mountain to talk to God. And while he was gone, the people got worried that maybe this God wasn't real, or maybe this God had destroyed Moses, or maybe whatever. And so they built a calf, a golden calf, to take the place of God. And of course, this is just another example of how the people fall away, come back, are renewed with God, become comfortable, and fall away again. So perhaps God was trying to make it a little bit more difficult for one group to be so unified that they would lose contact with God, that they would become too self-reliant and not need God anymore. Now, perhaps if the whole world still spoke in one tongue, there wouldn't be so much conflict. But, you know, I'm not sure of that. It doesn't really seem to keep humans, from being arrogant and self-sufficient. And we still build great towers and cities and even use religious belief to build ourselves up. So perhaps that's why speaking in tongues became a gift of the Spirit given at Pentecost. Perhaps God saw that splitting the people had become an excuse for people to gather in exclusive groups, to be suspicious and dismissive of those who spoke differently. Because we're so good at that, aren't we? Whatever God intends for us for good, we are able to twist into what we think is going to be good. But maybe it isn't in our best interest. Here's why else would have speaking in tongues been such a primary part of the Pentecost story. Along with the gust of wind and the appearance of flame, we might expect doves to appear, right? Because that's been the symbol of the Holy Spirit throughout Jesus' ministry. Whenever God would speak to Jesus, such as when he was baptized, the symbol of the dove came down. But instead of a dove, we have disciples speaking in different languages, different than their native tongue, languages that they most likely didn't speak at all. And with the wind and the flames and the different voices speaking different languages, what a cacophony sound it would have been. Enough so that it caught the attention of the people in town. People from all over the place, the whole world, had grown larger. And they were all attracted to the uproar. The disciples were speaking in all sorts of languages, similarly to what we did here this morning. And the people in the crowd could hear their own language and could understand their own language and could understand that the disciples were speaking about the power of God. And of course, some were disbelieving. Perhaps their language didn't come through. Perhaps all they heard was noise and people babbling and looked for any excuse. They are filled with new wine. But they were fascinated and a little confused. How is it that we hear these people, this group of wanderers, speaking our language? And Peter steps up and tells them that it's a prophecy of Joel being fulfilled with prophecies and visions and dreams of to continue to teach the disciples and to remind them of how to follow Jesus and to support them in their task. So to me, the speaking in tongues as a sign of the Spirit indicates the intention of God for the people of God, a unity and diversity. Because we know from the story of Babel that God intended diversity among all of the people. We also know that God intended within that diversity, people get along together and at least tolerate each other's differences. If not, I agree that people should welcome the stranger. Why have language as one of the signs of the coming of the Spirit? Friends, the whole world is now both larger and smaller than was ever imagined at the time of the ancients. We have communication possibilities that exceed anything that could have been imagined before the 20th century. And those prospects only continue to grow. And yet we seem in many ways to be more isolated from each other than ever. The internet allows us to be in communication with people far across the world. I helped a man on Thursday email the documents to India at the library. And yet for many of us, our connections and relationships are superficial. We build walls around ourselves that keep others from truly knowing us. Whether it's because we fear being hurt, because we fear rejection, because we fear that our true selves aren't good enough. And it's not like we're fearful for no reason. We have been rejected before. We have seen others like us rejected, forgotten, lost, turned away, sometimes bullied and humiliated. And we're told over and over every day, every time we turn on the TV or listen to the radio, it seems that we are told we would be afraid of something. And so we build these walls to keep the pain and fear away. The fear of another. The fear represented by the different languages. The fear that Christ tells us not to listen to. The way that Christ tells us, fear not, and teaches us not to leave others in isolation and fear, but to reach outside of our own walls, our own languages, our own thoughts, and find ways that we are alike as human beings, to find the common humanity that we share, a humanity dependent on the powerful deeds of God for our very existence, a humanity that can bring hope to the hopeless, friendship to the friendless, and love to the unloved, that can speak in languages that we don't even know. Maybe not French and German, Greek, but the language of love, the language of hope, the language of grace. That's why we in the church must be the ones to reach out, to be the face of God and the voice of God in the world, not in a chastising way, but a loving way that shows the true love of God to the world. Because we are to be different from the world. And if we can offer people a place where they know they don't have to be afraid, then we have fulfilled God's purpose. Amen.
Let us join now in the service of giving. Let us pray. God, we pray that your
Thank you.